Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm Grandpa Keith.
I'm Zach.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, we've got Aaron with us today. Aaron Cozart. How are you, Aaron?
I am doing well, doing well. Good to be with y'all.
This is our fourth special guest that we've had, Keith. We've gone from Alan Webster to Spencer Furby to John Farber and now to Aaron Cozart.
Okay, so we could change that to say the third special guest, but
right,
John Farber, you know, doesn't qualify as special. Well, he's special, but you know.
Well, see, I thought y'all were just tracking downhill. You know, you start with Alan, and then you know,
yeah, we just keep going. No,
yeah, Aaron, do you know Spencer?
I do not.
Oh, man, we need to get you and Spencer on here together one day then. Yeah, Spencer's a good guy. Aaron, you are video recording this, yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you, our dear listeners, might have the opportunity to watch this video. And if you do, you will see the very backgrounds that we have behind us. They've been making fun of me because I'm back in the nursery today. And they're jealous of my elephant and giraffe wallpaper.
And zebras.
And I'm sitting in a pink rocking chair. And
it's the pink rocking chair we're actually jealous of.
It puts it over the top.
Yes, it's pretty comfortable. I'll tell you that. But it's been a crazy trying to get networks figured out and then
try to get Keith to stay in one place for longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I did not put my phone on airplane mode. So
yeah, you better do that because you'll be getting texts and calls.
Yeah, but so we are here for this episode. Zach, I've lost count of what episode this is. This
not a clue.
Season 2, episode 23.
Something like that,
I believe.
Yeah.
And it's like number 68 or 69 overall. That we have done, and Aaron somehow is just now joining us for one.
It's amazing how hard I've had to avoid doing this.
he's avoided it real hard, but we finally dragged him on here.
Aaron, we have, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to listen to anything that we have done, but we generally have a good time on here.
We do.
We wanted a more relaxed atmosphere, and we may have taken it too far.
I don't know if we can get any more relaxed than this, Keith.
it's all good, and life is good, and we are of course, those of you who do not know Aaron, Aaron, you are preaching in
Collierville, Tennessee. Okay.
I wanted to say that, but I wanted you to say it even more to make sure that it was right. And Aaron, I got to say this. I haven't seen you in a while. You're looking great, man.
Well, thank you.
I think Collierville is agreeing with you. You look fantastic. I'm a little jealous.
I got the makeup on this morning. You know, I do the full studio look.
Well, yeah. So do we, but,
This is how we need to treat our guests, Keith. We don't need to say that they're special, like John, that he's
right?
not special. That's
right.
Why no one wants to come on this program, because we treat our guests like awful.
Well, and I think Spencer, when he was on here, he was actually sitting in one of these little kiddie chairs that go with the kiddie table that is here in the nursery. I think we made him sit in one of those.
Special guest.
But
for all of you people who are listening on audio, you're going to have to now go find the video just to see the chair that they make their special guest sit in, because that chair is special.
It is. It's a special, special chair. We got Spencer and Keith is frozen solid.
I just want to state that had I known that I could have decorated, the office in elephants and kitty pictures and I certainly would have gone that route. But anyway, we'll have to do without Keith for a little while. So you know, anytime you get into a situation where you're teaching and you're preaching and you're communicating with technology, you have to be ready for whatever happens. And whatever happens sometimes is Keith freezing. Sometimes
Keith is frozen solid.
It is colder there than it is apparently anywhere else. Hey, he's back.
Hey, I see him there. Yes. My network left me again. But
wow.
It normally it's better than this, but today it's
just talk about it a little bit while you're gone.
It's okay. I'll listen to the playback and I'll figure out what you said. And I'll come up with a crushing reply. Anyway, what I was going to say, and I have no idea what you just said while I was off in the ether world. Next week, don't look for an episode.
Yeah.
I hate to say that. I really do. But next week, we're not going to be able to record an episode because of travel plans that Zach has.
And Keith has.
No, I'll be here next week. You're the one that'll be out of the country next week. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to be down there. We're going to briefly for 24 hours. We'll be in the same place.
Yeah, about 24 hours. We'll be in the same place.
So we may be able to get an episode recorded down there with John again.
That is the plan. And, yep. Aaron, you are more than welcome to join us next Friday.
Peru.
We are planning to record in the – we'll be at Las Palmas Hotel in Miraflores. And you're more, they, more than welcome.
Their special podcasting room all set up for you, ready to go, waiting.
Normally, we go up to the rooftop restaurant and, just record up there. But it's all going to be good. Should be there with John Farber again, live this time instead of via Skype. But it'll be good times. So Zach, you're flying out what, Saturday?
Leave Saturday. Been there the entire week.
Going to the big city of Ica.
Yeah, we're going to land in Lima, and then I think he said we're staying the night in Lima, and then we're waking up and going to Ica in the morning.
Yeah.
Traveling down there, and then we'll be staying in Ica for the remainder of the week until probably, what do you say, Wednesday night, Thursday, we come to Lima.
I don't know what you're doing.
I would say so. I would say we would probably come to Lima on Thursday and stay the night.
You'll be back in Lima before I ever leave for the airport, so.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Anxious. First trip I've ever taken out of the country.
Finally get a stamp in your passport.
I do. A little anxious, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited for the experience. Everybody's told me how awesome it is, even you. So, it's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Aaron, you ever been on any mission work in Peru?
I have. Well, not in Peru. I've been down to Costa Rica. So
Costa Rica.
And it is an eye-opening experience. If you've never been outside the States, and if you've never been on a mission trip to a foreign country, it is a very enjoyable experience if the trip goes well.
Very enjoyable experience if you enjoy it.
if you get in country and the first thing that happens is your bags end up in another country, it may not be as enjoyable. Thankfully, that didn't happen to me, just somebody who went with me. It can be fun. There can always be a lot of things that can go wrong, but it will.
I've heard that.
It will be beneficial and profitable no matter how it goes, because you will see things and experience things and come back with a different perspective on life, guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Keith knows firsthand what can go wrong in a foreign country.
Good times. Good
malaria.
Times. Aaron, I talked to one of your neighbors. I didn't talk to him. I talked to his translator while he was in Ica, Jeff Phillips up at Covington.
Okay.
He was down in Ica just a few weeks ago, and I was talking to Pablo while he was there with Jeff. But it's a popular tourist destination. Zach, you're gonna love it.
I'm just worried, man. I just do not want to go down there and get sick. I really don't. I really, really don't. I can't tell you how much I do not want to get sick.
You know what? I hope you do not get sick. But if you do, I have 10 years worth of jokes to make. And,
yeah.
You know, you may get them all at once. So,
yep.
You know, so we'll be prepared for that. But, okay. So let's do this rundown. Zach, anything special going on at Paintsville?
Not that I can think of this coming week. We probably don't have anything going on until, they go to, Exposure in Alabama, the youth group going down there, right after Christmas. I mean, the biggest thing we've got going on right now is us going to Peru. But November was a busy month, man. We did that Thanksgiving Day dinner, the free Thanksgiving Day dinner. There were only 45 people who came, but we think we served over 100 and some people because they took orders out with them when they left.
Right.
So, you know, it's a good thing for the community. It was a really good outreach thing. We had a couple people start crying because, you know, they had the ability to, they didn't have the means to buy themselves or make themselves Thanksgiving Day dinner. So they came here and got a free one. So it was very cool. Touching. It was a very good thing for the community. What about Sykeston?
Sykeston, nothing terribly exciting going on this week. Nothing out of the ordinary going on this week. Last Sunday night, it was kind of funny. They actually had a welcoming reception for me and my family. And what was so funny about it is we've been here 3 months now, but because of the calendar and the way everything fell, it took that long to be able to squeeze it in. But that was really good.
To be honest, what really happened was they were waiting to see if they were keeping them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the return policy. You don't really celebrate and tell everybody that you got that new thing until you've passed the return window and now you're stuck with it.
Right.
So the return policy on Keith has run out.
I'm out of warranty now, you know, and they should have gotten the extended warranty. That's all I can say.
Anytime you hire a preacher, buy the extended 1 or 2 year warranty. That return policy might be needed.
That is exactly right. I don't know if we need to get into that today, but I saw a post on Facebook. You may have seen it too, Aaron. A guy posted in one of the Preachers Wanted forums, and he said, what would happen if preachers started asking for a resume from congregations? You know, how would things go there? And you know, yeah, actually, I think that's a pretty decent idea. Let me see your resume. Anyway, Aaron, what's going on in Collierville?
We're just trying to get through the rest of the year. We actually have a good thing coming up tonight, so nobody will, you know, it'll be past it before everybody listens to this. But tonight we have our congregation-wide Bible Bowl happening.
Oh, wow.
This is something that that started off in Paintsville, Kentucky. As a kid, we used to have a congregational-wide Bible Bowl because we were all studying the same material.
Right.
And one Wednesday night or whatever, we'd all come together, split up onto teams, and we'd have, during the Bible study period, we would have a Bible Bowl, and everybody would, you know, participate together, and the parents and the adults would always find out that they know far less than the kids do about whatever they've studied for the last quarter. So we're doing that here, and we had our first one last quarter, and we're having our second one this tonight. And frankly, it's been very enjoyable to, you know, get everybody from age 92 down to age 6 all in the same room and do a Bible Bowl. It's a really fun experience.
Okay, so I got to ask you, who chooses the teams?
Everybody just goes down the hallway, you line up, and you just 1, 2, 3, 4, and if you're 1, sit at one table, 2, sit at another table, and 3. So it's certainly possible to manipulate the count and the team, but we don't choose teams per se.
So it's not like in elementary school playing kickball, you know.
Right.
Stack teams.
No. There's no stacking teams, and also there's no, you know, the only way you're the last person picked is you were the last person in the hallway when they started counting.
Yeah.
So the slowest people in walking are whoever's last, you know.
Okay. So
we do that.
Greece is from a Bible Bowl. That's an awesome thing. It was awesome.
Well, yeah. I just wonder, you know, Aaron, if they did do it like, you know, elementary school kickball, you know, what round would you go in?
Oh, see, I read the questions.
He's the reader.
I am officially excluded.
You are the moderator.
Because I am the moderator. Yeah. They started to have a riot when they were trying to decide whose team I was going to be on. I said, that's easy to decide. I'm going to read the questions.
Right.
So now you don't have to worry about what round you would go in.
Yes. But as it happens, so we, like I said, we've done this one quarter before. We did it last quarter, and there were three questions missed the entire time.
Wow.
So we went through 60 or 70 questions, and there were three missed, period. Across any of the teams. So, you know, it's really a statement and a testament to when you're going through and you encourage people to go back and to review the material and to study it. Not everybody knew every answer, but somebody on the team, seven or eight people on a team, somebody knew the answer.
Right.
And, so, you know, there were no big losers. There was the team that came in first and all the rest of the teams that came in second who missed
right.
one question.
So. Right. Wow. That's pretty cool. Zach, what round would you be taking in?
Let's see. I can't really remember. I remember. I probably wasn't one of the first ones picked. We did it when I was real young. Ben Wright used to do he was the question. I think he did the questions, and it was something. It was a really good idea. I don't know who ever came up with that idea, but it was a really, really good idea. They did it forever.
I don't know, but this whole thought train has just been fascinating me because, you know, if you're sitting there listening to this and you're thinking, I probably wouldn't be picked until round 14, you know, maybe that, you know, should be a challenge to you.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
this isn't, you know, we're not talking about the NFL draft coming up here. This is something that everybody should be. You know, you should go in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christian should go in round one. But you know, anyway, I got sidetracked on that.
The value of taking the things that you study in Bible class and going back over them and reviewing them and thinking about them again 2 weeks later and 3 weeks later and 4 weeks later and 13 weeks later. It is incredibly important because the reality is people retain that information because they go back and think about it again. And so it's interesting to go back and ask them the questions from last quarter, you know, for, you know, where mm-hmm. it's been 25 weeks since we went through that class, but they're still able to retain some of it because they didn't just leave it there. They
right.
brought it with them, you know, weeks later and then weeks later. And then, you know, they went over it in the Bible Bowl and now it's cemented there. That if you continually do that with people, they retain so much more of the knowledge that they're taught. And that's an important thing. Anytime you're teaching someone something, if you don't bring those things that you studied to mind again later on, they'll lose them. You know, that's just the way the brain works. The neurology says, I don't need this because I haven't accessed this in a very long time. So let me shove it aside and get rid of it. So there you go.
That is spoken from the perspective of an IT guy who is thinking about files that if they're not accessed in a certain period of time, they get compressed and, you know.
Delete. Gone. File 13. Out of here.
Yeah. But you know, that is also, and that's not what we came on here to talk about today, but, that's also one of the big advantages of the entire congregation studying the same material. And, you know, it's giving the opportunity for those who may be more experienced in life, to be able to share some of the things that they know compared to the young child or the young Christian who may be absorbing a lot of Bible knowledge but doesn't have the experience to make application of that. Mm-hmm. And so I love that idea. And plus it could also serve to bring some accountability to teachers as well. And, you know, of course we think of what James writes concerning teachers, and it's a very, very eye-opening reminder that, you know, warning that he gives to us, the responsibilities of being a teacher. But anyway, like I said, that wasn't what we came on. We could do the whole episode just on Bible Bowl and Bible class curriculum. That maybe we need to do one on that one of these days. So we know who to call. We're going to call you, Aaron.
Drag him into it.
Yeah. Right. So
before we get started, I want Aaron just to give a little spill about Truth FM for our listeners kind of give him a little introduction about what you're trying to do with it. And you've got 4 minutes.
All right. Wow. I have 4 minutes. I was expecting 60 seconds. So here's the four times longer rundown than what you actually were thinking you were going to get. No, Truth FM is an organization that's run by members of the church to create internet radio stations for churches to be able to use the power of the internet and live streaming and 24/7, 365 broadcasting over the internet to reach out to their communities, but also to the world, and be able to do that in such a way that people can just turn it on and listen. And one of the biggest steps I think that we've got coming in the next few weeks, we're going through the approval process right now, but that is the ability to walk up to like an Alexa device, an Amazon device, and say play, and then give the station name. And you don't have to use a special app or anything. We're building those skills, the skill sets, so that you can walk up and just say the name of the station you want to play. And so in a few weeks, Collierville Radio will be available, and people will just be able to walk up to Alexa and say, play Collierville Radio. And it'll play. And what we're trying to get to is where people can use it like they used to use radio, you know, where you think about wanting to turn it on, and you don't need it, you know, don't need a computer. You don't need 17 different devices. You don't need the right app. You just walk up to a smart speaker and say play. So we've got that going on, and we're working on that. We just did the audio and video production and live streaming of Polishing the Pulpit Spark that happened in Salem, Virginia. And so we're in the midst of wrapping that all up and getting the videos online. We did the video production for them for that event. And so we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a UK-based internet radio station from the churches in the UK that's going to be hopefully launching by the end of this year. And we're gathering material for a Spanish station as well as a Telugu station for India. So all of those are coming together. So I'm hoping by this time next year that Truth FM will have worked with congregations and Mission Works to launch a station for Budapest. We've got somebody recording material for that already. So a station for Budapest and a station for Spanish speaking, a station for Telugu language in India, and a UK-based English station. All should be launched by early next year, or it just depending on some of the details, it may be later next year, but that's what we're tracking towards.
There we go.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
That's big.
So, you know,
it's huge.
Where are you? You know, I know that in some of the beginning talks about, you know, making these radio stations, that, you know, there was discussion about Spanish speaking and just a lack of recorded material. And, you know, that was the big hindrance that was there. I know a lot of places, though, are looking for ways to reach out to the Hispanic communities that are within their community. And, you know, this may be a beneficial tool for a lot of different places, having these different languages available. So who's doing the translating for the material on the UK stations?
So the UK station, we're not doing translation. We're doing English. We're working.
I had to mess with you there.
He couldn't resist it. As soon as he heard you say UK, he had to say it. He had to.
We're working with a congregation in Cumbernauld, Scotland. They're heading the work up there, doing some of the production in other churches in Ireland and the UK, and even a number of other British English speaking locations throughout the world are going to supply material. But it's for all of those like me, I enjoy listening to the British speech every once in a while. You can log on there and actually know what they're saying, as opposed to the Telugu. Unless you're fluent in Telugu, you're going to be out of luck on that one. But that is one of the things that we're really working towards, is we didn't want to create stations that were split. You know, it's part English sometimes, unless it was applicable for that location in that broadcast area. We really wanted it to be dedicated, where, you know, for Hungary, it just is, you know, their language because the reality is there's people all over the world who speak that language and who need the gospel. And we want to be able to broadcast to them in their own language. And it's not that hard to do. But at the same time, you know, local congregations here in the U.S. and all over the world, it really doesn't matter where you are. We can start a station and we can launch it, and we can take, you know, your old tape library of sermons. We can take CD libraries of sermons. We can take your recordings and you can turn them, you know, and sometimes we've got congregations that have a stockpile of radio programs that they've done for years gone by. Right. And we can take all of those and turn them into something useful again, because you spent all that time and hours and effort recording them. Let's take them off the shelf and start using them. So that's what we're doing with Truth FM. And, you know, for the U.S.-based content, we also have a partnership with GBN and other organizations in the Brotherhood who are solid and sound, Apologetic Express, World Video Bible School, International Gospel Hour. And you have access to all of their material as well to put on your station and include that. So you can use your material and their material and be able to put out good, sound gospel teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
There we go.
And, you know, I missed some of the earlier discussion because I had to leave earlier. But you're talking about something that can be customizable for a location.
Absolutely. So if once the Alexa skill gets launched, if somebody turns on Collierville Radio and they listen to it, what they will hear is the beginning of every hour, information for the Collierville Church of Christ will be broadcast. And it will play information. That was my Amazon device right there saying, "What? You want me to do something?" It will play and it will tell you about our worship times. It will tell you about our contact information. And so any congregation that starts a station, that's what they get. They get to promote their congregation in the top of the hour, bottom of the hour locations, so that it's beneficial to the local church. And that's what we want, is anything we do, it's focused on the local congregation. It's focused on being a tool for them to reach out to their community and be able to, you know, really connect with people, but make it available to them. You go walk up to a door and you say, "Hey, I've got a radio program on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, but it's Monday at 2 o'clock. Are they going to remember 3 days later, you know, to turn the radio on? No. But if you can tell them, you can go listen right now, click play on your phone, click play on your iPad, turn it on your Amazon device. You walk in, you walk away from the door, and they can go listen right now. And that's that immediacy is important.
Yeah.
We better get the program started. We better get our topic started, because if not, we're just talking about.
Wait. Well, I had a follow-up question to that, okay. Because Aaron, you've told us a lot about Truth.fm, but if you as a listener are listening to us right now and you want to know more, where should they go? Who should they talk to? You know, who's going to answer their questions? Because for one thing, I know the number one question. What do you suppose the number one question is, Aaron?
Let's see. They're going to ask,
what's it going to cost?
No, that's not the number one. Nobody cares about that question. The number one question is, do I have to know anything to do this? You know, and the answer is no, you don't have to know anything. We take care of all of that. But no, if they want to find out more, the best place to turn to is, our website, www.truth.fm. If I could talk, Keith, or, find me on Facebook. Or send an email to info@truth.fm.
Cool. Okay. All right. So
there we go.
Okay.
The ad spot's so, over, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you got a free plug there.
Over. Yeah, your plug's over.
Yeah.
That's okay. Everybody who listens to the show ends, they stop listening at 15 minutes in, so nobody heard.
Yeah, you can address the check to Let's Talk About Christianity.
Goes into your budget, huh?
That's right. It goes into our budget.
It will be the only thing in our budget.
Okay, so let's see. Any other way that we can draw this out and extend it before we – no.
No, but what does Christ do for us?
Did we cover everything that we needed to relative to that?
Sure. Yeah, I think we spent the first 30 minutes of a program covering stuff, so I think we got it all.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about football today.
Oh, we haven't talked anything about football.
No.
How about the
There are a number of teams who are glad the season is over. We'll just leave it at that.
A whole lot.
I'm glad the season's over as a viewer. I'm incredibly glad. Now I don't have to not watch it.
Yeah.
Well.
Aaron's really into college football.
Yep. Yeah.
SEC.
My season's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is in right now. And here's something interesting about hockey. And you're probably saying, hockey? Why are we talking about hockey? No, my oldest daughter, Caitlin, you know, she's been – her saying has always been, I don't sport. You know, she turned it into a verb there. I don't.
Right. Sport. She verbed it.
And so she moves to South Florida, and of all the things she could get into in South Florida, hockey. I mean, she turned into like a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. And, you know, she came home over the Thanksgiving holiday, and she's got her phone, and all of a sudden we're sitting around one night, and her phone just goes, and we're going, what in the world is that? And she goes, oh, the Lightning scored a goal. I mean, she's got the app on her phone, and she's like following all this stuff. And
she's into hockey.
Of all the things that I would have expected, it would not have been hockey, but she's like into it. We could turn that into an entire program in itself. We really could.
We turned three things into an entire program.
Well, the point I was going to make was there are thousands of people out there who they know about God, they know about Jesus, but they've never been connected with.
That's true.
And, you know, we need to know what it's going to take to connect with those people, to be able to share the gospel with them. And sometimes it takes a little more looking than we have traditionally been engaged in. But, Aaron, you were talking about all the radio stuff and, you know, the statistics for people who listen to the radio while in their cars, it's like what, 80 to 90% somewhere in there of people who are in their cars, you know, turn the radio on.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the areas, if somebody's is even semi interested in using the internet to broadcast, one of the things to notice of the trends in automotive circles is what's going into every car now. The Amazon, you know, style devices are going in where they can just say, listen to this, but also built-in LTE connections, built-in Wi-Fi, you know, all of that stuff is happening in the vehicle now. So right. Where before, the only good communication broadcast method when someone's in their car was FM or terrestrial broadcasting, AFM or AM, FM broadcasting. Now, the internet really is an option. Whereas, you know, before you go, well, I could create a satellite channel. That would be incredibly expensive. I could create an FM radio station. Broadcast distance is limited and incredibly expensive. AM, same way. Well, now you can broadcast through the internet and you can reach all of those people in those vehicles because they've got that access in their car now. And that's just going to become more prolific as time goes on. So the time to get in, the time to start broadcasting through the internet with audio isn't gone. It's not dead. It's just starting because you now have a whole new audience in a whole different, you know, time and place that has opened up that didn't exist 5 years ago.
Yeah. Really good point. And really, really short span of time. Aaron, you're talking about these automated devices such as Alexa. Google's got one that they call something. I can't remember.
Google Home.
Yeah. You know, I have no desire, me personally, you know, I've got an Amazon Fire Stick. That's the closest I've got. And technically, I suppose it has the capability if I push the button on the remote control. But
I've got an Echo Dot. I love it. I love my Echo Dot.
I've not gone there yet. I don't know. I might like it. But
you would like it. You can talk to it. Know. It tells you jokes. It does all kinds of things, Keith. You would like it.
Well,
when you get lonely, you can talk to it.
I think you just told us more about your sad life than you intended to, Zach. But
sometimes I get lonely. And I like Alexa. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud.
Okay. So anyway, I have lost my glasses at some point, so I have no idea where we're at on time. Where are we at on time?
I think we started at 50 and we are now up to almost 1:30. So we've almost spent 40 minutes.
Am I the only one that can see the clock on the recorder?
Record. Yes. But I hit record 42 minutes ago.
Okay. All right. Really? We've been at this 40 minutes already and we haven't even touched the topic?
No, 15 minutes left of the program.
Okay. So
there will be a part two. And there will be an episode next week. You're going to have to split this one into two parts, the talking and then the program.
Right.
Well, that's okay because you provided a wealth of information there, and we're grateful for that, Aaron, and really glad that you were able to come on the program today. So we are the topic that we had selected was a very broad topic. It's just things that Jesus has done for us. And I don't know. I suppose I started thinking about this. You know, Zach, you brought the topic up yesterday, but I'd been thinking about it last week in particular with Thanksgiving going on and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there thinking about things that we take for granted and, you know, don't really stop and not directly thankful for, very often anyway. And so anyway, we ended up with this topic of things that Jesus has done for us, and actually pulled an old sermon outline that I had. Zach, I think you've got a sermon outline that you've written at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
I was thumbing through the pages of an old sermon book and found it, and I really, really liked it. And so I sat down and was studying it, and I thought it would be a really good topic for the program.
And you've already got your lesson written for the lectures in Peru next week.
I do. It's called The Gospel, God's Plan of Action. So,
yeah,
got that going. Ready to rock.
I've written mine in my head, but I haven't put anything down yet.
Unfortunately, yeah. I won't be able to hear yours. That saddens me.
It'll be okay.
Stan and then John, I think, speaking that night. But that's the only thing we'll get to hear this year.
You will. Well, actually, John or Jack won. Hanor is going to take their spot, and so you Stan is the only North American that I think you'll get to hear, but that's okay. Anyway, what are some things that Jesus has done for us that we might tend to take for granted?
Well, and I thought about, when I was thinking about this topic, I started to think about the mindset that we have as Christians. And sometimes I think the mindset that we have as Christians is almost exclusive to the crucifixion. When we think of what Jesus did for me, we think, well, it's just exclusive to the crucifixion. He just died on a cross for me. But there's so much other stuff that he did. Maybe it may be small stuff, but it's still meaningful stuff that led up to the crucifixion. And when I was reading through this sermon outline, it really opened my eyes to a lot of the things that some stuff I hadn't even considered, I hadn't even thought of. And the first thing that, this outline says is Jesus left heaven for me. Jesus left his home for me, his home in heaven, a home that is free of pain and sorrow, a home that is full of happiness, full of joy. He left that to come to an earth that is full of sinners and sinful people, to die on a cross, to become poor, to do all of these things so that I might have a hope to live with him in heaven. And I started to think about an illustration. It's almost like a person who lives in this big, beautiful home, has got valuable possessions. It's full of happiness and joy. And they leave that home to go live the life of a poor person for just the average Joe on the street. So that average Joe on the street can live in their home with them and share those things. And that's what I thought about when I thought about this. What about you, Aaron?
One of the things that I thought about is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus is speaking there to the churches, and he says this, to him who overcomes. Okay, so who are we talking about? We're talking to Christians. We're talking to churches. But we're talking to the people who deal with the struggles of life and remain faithful, who are faithful all the way to the end. That Revelation 2 verse 10 that we hear quoted a lot of times, the ones who overcome, he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So here's your lesson. Here's your thought. Christ said, I would go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will bring you again to myself. Now, Jesus not only went to prepare a mansion, not only went to prepare a dwelling place, but there's a seat. There's a seat prepared, a seat of authority, a seat of responsibility, but a seat in the presence of God. And Jesus says, if you'll overcame as I did, I showed you how, I gave you the example, I led you in the way to do it. If you'll overcame as I overcame, you'll sit where I sit.
That's a really good point. What about you, Keith?
The example that I thought of was similar to the one that you had presented, Zach, but I was thinking more from our perspective where we are now, because most of us are not living that luxurious lifestyle. that you described, most of us are living a lifestyle that is much more common. However, you know, I don't know how is it in Collierville today, Aaron? It's like 35 degrees and the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour here.
Then it's warmer than it is here. It's cold.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And Zach, I think you said you guys had snow again.
Snow.
More power to you.
Snow in the mountains.
You know, right now I'm in the nursery. Of course, the nursery is going to be warm. You know, it's comfortable in here. It's really nice. By the way, the reason I'm in the nursery is that my office is a construction zone today.
But he did get a window. He finally got a window.
There is a window.
Window. Yeah.
There is a window. And you know, we'll maybe take a look at that. I don't know. It'd be 3 weeks before we record again, by Skype, but, you know, maybe you can see my window then. But anyway, what was that? Oh, yeah. It's cold outside. We're inside. We're warm. We're comfortable. You know, it, depending on how your lifestyle at home is, you know, we keep our thermostat set pretty low, relatively speaking. But it's still a whole lot warmer than it is outside. Now, who wants to give up whatever shelter, whatever protection that you have in your home to go outside and live in, you know, Zach, you're going to build you an igloo in the snow? You know, yeah. Do you want any part of that?
Right. No, I do not want any part of that. I do not want to live in an igloo.
We think of all the things that go along with that. You know, if you had to leave your home and to go live outside right now, where are you going to find your food? How are you going to keep your food safe? How are you going to keep your food safe from predators or, wild animals? How are you going to keep free from disease? What are you going to do about sanitation? What are you going to do about warmth? Are you going to get frostbite? All these different questions. And we look at that and we say, you know what? Yeah, I could go out and I could live outdoors in the middle of winter if I had to, but I don't want to. And who in their right mind would choose to when you had the warmth and the comfort available to you that we all take for granted?
Yep.
And Jesus left that and so much more behind to come live like we do.
And I think this point begs the question too, you know, what are we willing to leave behind for him? Are we willing to leave sin for him? Are we willing to leave a sinful lifestyle for him? What are we willing to leave for him because of all the things that he left for us to give us the hope? And then the second point was Jesus became man for me. You know, Isaiah 53 verses 3-5 say he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. You know, Jesus became man, became flesh and blood, knowing what his life would be like as man, but he did it anyway. What do you think about this, Aaron? What's your thoughts on this one?
You know, in all of this, you put together where you've come from, where you're going to. And when you do that with what Jesus did, you go, okay, he did that. Yeah, he left heaven. Yeah, he came to earth. Yeah, he lived and died. Why? Because it's always about the why. Why should I do it? You know, why should I suffer just because he did? There's a decent question. What value is in it for me? And then you get to the answer of that why. Why did he suffer? Why was he smitten? Why did all of this happen? And it comes back to he came for us. He came so that when this life is over for us, this life wasn't all we had to look forward to. And judgment isn't a fearful expectation. Instead, we have a hope. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 4, when we read in Hebrews 4 about what Jesus suffered for us, it leads up to verse 16, where in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, God says to those Christians, and now, because he did this, you have boldness to access.
Boldness
to access the throne of God and find grace to help in time of need. Because Christ came, and because he did this, and because he did it not only for us to have a home when this life is over, but also so that we have help to get through this one. And you know, whenever you ask yourself, why should I, why did he? The answer is the same. Because you need the help. Let's face it. We need the help, but the help comes at a requirement. The help comes with a cost, and that's faithfulness. It's overcoming. So if you want that home, and if you want what he's providing, it's going to cost you something to get it. It's going to cost you doing what he did. But God said, don't worry. I'm with you while you do it. And that's actually the whole book of Revelation. Is God says, listen, I've got it. I'm in charge. I can take care of you. It doesn't mean you won't suffer. It doesn't mean you won't die, perhaps, for the cause of Christ. But I've got you. And I'm in charge. And I'll take care of it.
The why gives us perspective.
Absolutely.
You know, I was thinking about that access that you mentioned there from Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And I had an experience actually when we were moving over here to Sykeston. I needed to talk to the U-Haul customer service. And so I had the email on my phone. It was very easy for me to open the email and hit the button so that it dialed out, you know, while I was driving. And I sat on hold for 30 plus miles waiting for somebody to pick up the phone on their end. I kept driving the whole time, and I actually did that twice, two different occasions. Drove 30 plus miles trying to get somebody to pick up the phone. And it was just a good thing it wasn't an emergency, you know, because they never did pick up the phone. When you need help and you can't get it because nobody is picking up the phone, there is no more frustrating feeling than that. And what the author of Hebrews is telling us there is not only do we have access to the throne of God, we have boldness to acquire that access or to utilize that access. And I know the clock is winding down on us here, but I want to say, you know, I'm not a fan of the casual approach that some take to prayer. Mm-hmm. The extremely over the top casual approach, because as I am approaching God in prayer, I am thinking of a king sitting on his throne. And, you know, if we read correctly of olden times, and you could look, for example, at the book of Esther. Esther approached the throne of King Ahasuerus, and she knew she could be killed just for approaching his throne without his invitation. And we should realize that if we are going to approach the throne of God, we need to be doing so with great humility. And realizing that we are nothing until he makes us something.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody going to jump in on that? There's a lot more that I could say relative to that, but we are winding down on time. As a matter of fact, we're down to about 1 minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if I'm reading this correctly.
So Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, one of the other things that he did for us. Colossians 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ provides us unity in a way where we can be unified with him and unified with God and unified with one another, no matter our station in life, no matter our position, our suffering, our glory, our greatness, or our weakness. We're one in Christ, mm-hmm. because we're one in him. And so when we look at what we have to look forward to, when we look at what he did for us, when we look at where we're going, we can also look at what he's given us now. And that's a unity and a hope and a community that doesn't exist anywhere else. So if you're outside the body of Christ and you're listening to this and you're going, I don't have a community, I don't have a family, I don't have a home, there's one waiting for you. And it's a body of Christians who believe in what Christ did, who know what Christ did, who can teach you what Christ did, and introduce you to a family you never knew you could have in Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're poor or rich. It doesn't matter if you have everything you could ever have asked for or nothing. Somewhere near you, there are Christians who will share with you, care for you, love you as he has loved us.
Very, very good.
That's a perfect conclusion.
Thanks for bringing that to us, Aaron. Okay, we are out of time. We've got to wrap this up and get out of here, or we're going to run over the hour. So let's talk about Christianity.com and go visit truth.fm. Check out the stuff that Aaron was talking about.
Definitely want to thank Aaron for coming on the program this week.
And Aaron, we hope
back on.
You'll be able to join us again one of these days soon. Okay.
Sounds good. And go to ColliervilleRadio.com.
There you go.
ColliervilleRadio.com. That's two plugs. Listen, that's two plugs right there. That's double the money.
Right. Double the money.
Yeah.
Double a zero is still zero.
That's right. All right. But it's all within the budget. So,
sure.
Okay. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. And we will see you week after next. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording now.
I was thinking.